Strike Up the Band. A Maine tradition lives on this 4th of July. Community bands, or town bands, in Maine have their roots in military ensembles dating back to colonial times. Before the emergence of radio and other forms of modern entertainment, community bands were at the center of small-town life. As the state prepares to celebrate the nation's birthday this Friday, community bands around Maine are rehearsing for concerts on the green or in parades atop flatbed trucks. It's a tradition that survived over multiple generations and is one of the remaining institutions that bring together neighbors of all ages and backgrounds through a common bond of music. And, say my guests, these bands are one way that we can continue to keep the performance of music a part of our daily lives. I'm Keith Shortall, and today on the program we'll explore the rich history of community bands in Maine and discuss the importance of music at any age. First, this news. From the MPBN studios, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. They're as American as the 4th of July itself, with a history that goes back before the time that Maine became a state. Community bands are alive and well in 2014, and we thought that with the 4th just upon us, that it's a good time to learn more about the musicians, the music, and the history behind many of the community bands in our state. In the studio with me, Nina Oatley-Walsh. She's music director for the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band. Diane Muffet is a retired middle school band director who started her teaching career with the Marshwood Junior High Band. She's currently program director for the week-long adult band camp New Horizons at the New England Music Camp in Sydney, Maine. And Bob Swerdlow is with us. He's vice president of the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band, an amateur musician playing clarinet and saxophone. And of course, we want to hear from you. Do you play in a community band? Is there a clarinet in your closet screaming to be freed from its dusty case? Or maybe you're willing to tackle the triangle later in life. The phone number, 800-399-3566. That's 800-399-3566. Our email address is talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome all of you to Maine Calling today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Nina, let's talk a little history if we can here, because there's a rich history behind these bands which go back to its origins in military bands?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, community bands and wind bands in general got their start as military bands, both in Europe and the United States. And there wasn't a lot of band activity in Maine until the early 1800s, really, where people living in local towns were just looking for forms of recreation, and they started, there was some effort to create some local bands here in Maine. I believe the first one was actually around the 1820s in Halliwell. And in 1830, apparently, John Payne formed what was called the Sacharap Band in Standish. But it wasn't really until after the Civil War was over and soldiers were returning home that community bands and town bands sort of got their start. And there were a lot of young men who went off to the Civil War to fight and actually served as musicians, providing music for the troops. And so out of that war came a lot of composers and musicians and conductors who cut their teeth on writing music and playing music for the troops.
And it was, I guess, after the Civil War, Congress stopped funding for these military bands.
Yes, exactly.
And that sparked the proliferation of these community bands.
Yes.
And before, and they were really the center of many town lives. There was no radio. And so the communities would often convene around these bands at major events and bring them together, sort of in the same way that they do today. Although less so, one might argue. It's also true that, so at this time, so in the early 20th century, schools didn't provide musical training. A lot of times it was the community band. That's where you learned to do that.
Yes.
And it wasn't until later that schools began to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
So, so where then, and I'll open this to anybody, where are we today? Are community bands, town bands alive and well? Are some doing better than others? Where are we?
Well, I think in Maine, that's certainly the case. Some are doing better than others. In Maine, though, I think we're very fortunate that there are a large number of community bands. I think last count, we estimated about 34.
I've got a list here of them. There are 34 of them. They go as far north as Presque Isle, as far west as Bethel, down to Hiram. They're all over the state.
And some of them, I mean, the oldest, I think, is the Bangor Band, formed in 1859, which has been going continuously since then. And I think the most recent was the Harpswell Community Band Concert Band, was formed in 2013.
So, but some are, I guess we could describe them, some are more robust than others. Your band, the Italian Heritage Center Band, is doing well, Bob Swerdlow?
Yes, yes. Now, the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band is actually the community band of Portland. And it's called the Italian Heritage Center Band because it was originally founded by some members of the Italian Heritage Center. But since then, 5 years ago, we incorporated it as our own educational nonprofit. The size of the band has grown. Now we're over 70 members. And that's just in the last couple of years, I guess we've added 20 members or so. We're adding new members all the time.
They seem to walk in once a week.
And why is it? Is that an urban thing? Are there just more players to pick from in Portland? And what are the contributing factors to how these bands are doing well?
There are actually quite a few bands in the Portland area. And many of our members play in more than one band. I think that people are attracted to this band because it is on the rise. It's a bigger band. And I think the style of the conductor has a lot to play with that. Nina really can put together a program that's very exciting for us. It's always very challenging early in the season when she brings out the new music. And by the time we get around to the concerts, we're having just a real blast.
And just share your personal story. How did you become a musician? What's your...
Well, I started in the fifth grade. I learned to play the clarinet in school.
You're not alone.
Yeah. And I played through high school and through college. And when I got out of college, I didn't know where to continue playing. And it just wasn't a priority at that time. And for over 25 years, my clarinet sat in the closet screaming to get out, as you said. And finally, my kids got to be of an age where I had a little more time. And they all played in the band, and I got to go see their concerts. And probably once every 5 years, I'd take the clarinet out and see if it still worked. But it wasn't until I had a little more time that I discovered and actually joined the Italian Heritage Band. I went there with my clarinet the first week, very scared. I didn't know what I was going to be able to do. And they gave me a third clarinet part, and I sat in the corner and was able to hit most of the low notes. And over the following weeks, I got better and better. And by the end of that year, Nina had actually had a chance, I think, to sit in the section once when I was playing and came and asked me if I wanted to try first part. And I did because I wanted to learn the high notes again. And then for a while, I took some more lessons. Nina is a clarinet teacher also, and I took some lessons just to get back into it. And now I'm in four different bands. I have my own clarinet quartet. It's just become an awful lot of fun for me.
Yeah, it's really taken off for you.
Keith.
Yeah, Diane.
You mentioned, you asked about, is this an urban thing that there are so many bands around? I think it also has a lot to do with the music program in the individual schools. You can find very large bands and successful bands in small towns if the school has a really, really fine music program.
That's sort of the breeding ground of the next generation.
Exactly. Like Bob was saying.
Sure. and is it true that in some of these bands, I had read in some of the background materials that while it's a good thing that this is an opportunity for people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s to sit on the folding chair on the flatbed truck next to a 15 or 16-year-old in the clarinet section, but that middle generation is harder to find in the 20s and 30s. Is that because of their situation in life, or is that demographic just not as interested in music, or what's going on there?
I think if someone hasn't continued along since they were in high school, if they haven't played through college and then found some place to play right afterwards, like Bob was saying, he couldn't. I think that they become involved with their careers. They become involved with raising children. And then they go, well, yeah, I used to play and it was a lot of fun, but oh, well. And that's where my group, which is part of the New Horizons organization, comes in, because we specialize in taking those people who haven't played in years or decades and getting them back into their instrument. And we also have a beginner program in my own band, which happens to be in Massachusetts. But we have people coming back to their instruments after 50 or 60 years of not playing. And we also have about 35 of our 90-some people in a string and band program, about 35 of them who started their instruments as adults, some of whom had no clue what those little black marks are on the paper. And they're just having a ball.
Yes. So, but how do I put this? You want to encourage that, anyone who's interested mm-hmm. in music and coming back to music. But you also want the band to sound the best that it can, right?
And that's where the New Horizons fills that gap.
Can you talk about that?
A little history first. It was started by Dr. Roy Ernst of Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. And he was just thinking, there are all these retired people, and they used to play instruments, and why can't they come back to it? And so he started the first New Horizons band in 1991. And he wanted it to be a place for reentry or the beginner program, entry into this world of group music playing. And so it was quite successful, and somebody else said, hey, that looks like fun. I'm going to start one of those. And here we are 22 years later, I think, and there are 212 New Horizons bands all over the world. And it is filling a gap, especially for us baby boomers, of a place to play and come back to their instrument. Or as a lot of people will tell me when they call, my daughter had so much fun in middle school and high school with that instrument, and I'd like to do that too. And my kids are all gone, and this is a good time.
Yeah. And so is there a philosophy around it that's different than just sort of
yes.
walking into your community band?
Roy's motto, which most of us take, I think, but it's not necessary, is your best is good enough. And I take that with my group to the point of if you're going to be gone for the 5 weeks right before our concert, no big deal. Come play the concert and play the notes you can and leave out what you can't play, so that it's totally stress-free. And in that way, we also end up with some professional players who can't deal with the strictures of the better bands around the Boston area.
Interesting. So, and at the Italian Heritage Center, Nina, what's the philosophy there for someone who's interested in maybe coming over?
I don't think it's all that different from the philosophy that Diane stated as the New Horizons.
Which I think is true of a lot of
I think it's very true
bands.
Of community band is we our goal is to provide a place for amateur musicians to make music for the joy of making music. And I think that we try to make it a welcoming environment. And I continue to try to raise the bar in terms of standards and level of performance, which they always seem to continue to meet, which is wonderful.
So how much teaching are you able to do, though? Say you've got someone who last picked up the clarinet in the seventh grade and is now in their fourth decade or fifth decade of life, and they sort of don't remember, they've mm-hmm. forgotten the fingerings. Do you have time to help them along, or is that up to them?
Yeah, that's not really the role that I play with the band. I mean, that's something we have some musicians that come in sort of in that situation. They will often find a private instructor who will help them. And I think the New Horizons is a wonderful program. And we actually don't have a band in the greater Portland area like that. There's one New Horizons band in Maine up in Dexter. But it would sort of fill a niche of being able to support people who are trying to either learn an instrument for the first time or get back up to snuff on how to play an instrument they haven't played in a number of years.
Exactly.
And then it becomes
Which
a feeder program.
Which end do I
program.
Blow in?
What's that?
Which end do I blow in?
Right.
There is, however, in the band, an awful lot of teaching that goes on between the players.
Within the sections, absolutely.
And I know when I restarted, you know, I couldn't remember some of the fingerings, and I would lean over to the next guy, how do you do that high D?
Yep.
And now I find I'm in the other role. You know, how do I trill from an F sharp to a G sharp? Mm-hmm, and that's what we're – you may think that we're just, you know, chatting between the songs, but we're actually working on those kinds of
it's
things.
Good to know, Bob.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to overgeneralize, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we tend to hear a lot of around the 4th of July, the community bands emerge. It's good weather. And we hear a lot of marches. This is sort of the standard fare of a lot of the bands. And I'd not to say that you've heard one march, you've heard them all, but structurally, it's not as if you're asking musicians to figure out a lot of complicated, different changes. If you master a march, Bob, are you going to do pretty well at the next march, or is that oversimplified?
I think that's oversimplified, but that doesn't mean it's not fun. I think that Nina's very good at selecting music that the band can play, and some of the pieces are very easy, and then we're challenging ourselves not with the technicalities of getting the particular notes, but in focusing on the musicality of the making the soft sauce and the loud and making the emotion come across. Let me just describe, if I may, our season, because it changes over the year. We start each year with a 9/11 tribute concert. It's a benefit down in Saco, which we do with the alumni band. And pretty much that's a very fast, for volunteers who pretty much can handle the music in two rehearsals. Then we have a fall concert, which we actually work on music for over a course of probably 8 rehearsals. And it usually has a theme. I think this year's theme is going to be a spooktacular
November
concert.
November 1st, right after
for Halloween. And then we'll have a spring concert, which is usually tied in with the music in our schools. This year it was a Jump on the Bandwagon concert. We also do outreach to the schools, and we'll have a couple of concerts in the schools playing with the middle schoolers. And then we get into our summer concert series, which is in the parks and also in the retirement communities.
So you're working year-round, then.
We're working year-round, and the music
band
changes. Yeah. And the summer music is much more popular. We have a concert tonight as part of our concert series every Tuesday in July. There's a community band playing at 7 o'clock in Deering Oaks Park. We're playing tonight. We're going to be playing themes from Mary Poppins. We'll do some marches. We'll do some marches. We'll do some tangos. It's a wide variety of music. It's just a lot of fun to play, and I hope it's a lot of fun to listen to.
All right, great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear from you. We have calls from Oakfield and East Sangerville waiting as we speak. We're talking about community bands and the importance of music throughout your life. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listener contributions and by Mid-Maine Restoration, specializing in steeple and tower restoration throughout Maine and New Hampshire for over 25 years, maine-steeplejacks.com. Moody's Collision Centers, reminding you this holiday weekend that a tree never hits an automobile except in self-defense. And Maine Coast Heritage Trust, committed to protecting the character of Maine for you and your family. Learn how at mcht.org.
Most of the fish we eat in the U.S. is imported, yet much of the fish we catch here is exported. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Paul Greenberg about this seafood deficit and its implications for our health and the health of our economy and the oceans. Greenberg is the author of American Catch, The Fight for Our Local Seafood. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. News.mpbn.net, news you need from MPBN and NPR with a clean new look and a great mobile experience. It's the online resource which provides you with an in-depth coverage of the most important stories taking place in Maine and beyond from a source you know and trust, your public radio station. News.mpbn.net, easy to explore, mobile-friendly, your go-to source for compelling stories and reporting. News and information each and every day, whenever and wherever you want.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, what makes someone decide they want to join a community band? Well, you heard a little sample right there. Got me going. In the studio with me, Diane Muffett, program director for the week-long adult band camp New Horizons at the New England Music Camp in Sydney, Maine, Nina Oatley-Walsh, music director for the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band, and Bob Swerdlow, vice president of the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band. We invite you to join the conversation. The number 800-399-3566. That's 800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We have some patient callers on the line to East Sangerville and Lou. Hi, Lou. Welcome to Maine Calling.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Hi.
I'm the president of the Carl Cuthbert Foundation, which supports the H.J. Crosby Community Band in Dexter, Maine. And that lady set us up real well. We are a New Horizons band. And we, our philosophy is kind of, we don't accept any excuse that you've got. If you want to play in a band or you used to play in a band, we have instruments to loan, we have music, and we have free music lessons by some of the many retired music teachers that are members of the Dexter Band.
Yeah. What kind of excuses do you get from folks?
I haven't played my horn in 40 years. I'm not even sure where it is anymore. that's
don't forget the arthritis. I can't play. I've got terrible arthritis, right? Have you had that one?
What did you say? I didn't quite hear it.
I often get, I couldn't do that. I've got terrible arthritis. My fingers wouldn't play.
Yeah, so we give them a different instrument than they
right.
used to play.
Yes.
Most everybody can hit two cymbals together, no matter what.
So how is the band doing, Lou? Do you have enough players? What are you looking for?
Well, there will never be too many players. We started out with 7 in 2010 as an offshoot of adult education. They just offered an ensemble and lessons. I came on board. I moved back to Maine in 2011 with my daughter. We joined the band and we made it 11. We just went over the 50 mark.
Wow.
We have 50 members, but on an average concert, because a lot of people work that are in the band and may find themselves in another state tonight at 6:30 in Guilford, Maine, we have an average of about 35 that play with us. But there will never be too many. If we had 200 in the band, 200 people would play. I will say we've already had a spin-off from the band, a half a dozen of us who wanted a little more challenging music have formed the Dexter Brass. And I don't say quintet or quartet or sextet because that varies. We're pretty much a standard brass quintet, but we play some pretty strange, newly arranged music for us.
Okay, and here's your plug. When's your next performance of either band?
Both groups play tonight at the brass starts at 6:15. The band plays at 6:30 in the gazebo in the park in Guilford. We play in big cities. We're going to go to Monson in a couple of weeks and play up there where we've started a New Horizons creation band out of our band. And that's what the Carl Cuthbert Foundation promotes, is we're there to help groups in our area, anywhere, start a new band. So we'll play up there, Greenville, Bower Bank. If they've ever heard of Bower Bank?
We have now, yeah.
So we're in some big cities where we're kind of literally, not punning, drumming up business. We give a little talk that if you want to come down to Dexter to rehearsals, or now Monson, we give, as I say, free lessons, music. We have a lot of loaner instruments, which is wonderful.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll make sure that we try to catch you in one of those big venues. But have a great tour there, and thanks so much for joining us today. Let's go to Oakfield and Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine. Listen, I called because I'm a longtime member of McGill's Community Band in Holton, and it is one of the best things I do in my life. It's just a blast.
Mary, were you tell us your story briefly, if you could? Were you?
I played through school and through college. I was in the Michigan Marching Band, And I'm a clarinetist, too. That seems to be your instrument of the day.
Yes.
I loaned my instrument to a number of students over the years, and when I moved to Houlton in 91, I joined the band. And it's just really fun. We have players. Let's see, our youngest member this year is a gifted fourth grader. Generally, they start in sixth grade, but Hope is fourth grade, and she's a wonderful baritone player. And our oldest member is Rod Palmer, who is a trombone player in his mid-90s.
Oh. So, nowhere else really, or in very few places, do you have this sort of place to bring together that kind of folks from different places and really different generations, and they're all doing something together that's fun.
Yep.
I can't think of another actually in a lot of places. But.
No, I think that's what's very unique about Community Band is it really provides an opportunity for those different generations to spend time together doing the same activity at all different levels.
We've heard, including from Mary, another clarinetist. I got an image here that these are all clarinet bands. what are the instruments that you would are harder to find, I guess, that you would like to have?
I think in our band, the instruments that I've always strived to have, and we're very close now to having all of them, is the double reeds, the oboes and the bassoons, because fewer people play those than they do clarinets or saxophones or trumpets. And it varies. I mean, the instrumentation changes. People's lives change. People come and go as they're able or not able to participate anymore. But double reeds has always been the instrument that I have sought after. And we have two oboes, and we have a part-time bassoonist. So we're close.
So and instruments are really expensive. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, double reed instruments. You can't really find a budget oboe anywhere,
right.
So I'm guessing, you know, and the maintenance of it. So is that part of it? Is expense a barrier aside from arthritis?
It can be. I mean, I think a lot of the adult musicians have instruments that they've had for many, many years. But we haven't run into too many members who have felt they weren't able to participate because of not having access to an instrument. But I think groups like New Horizon, and there's another group in Maine called The Gift of Song. Is that correct?
The Gift of Music.
The Gift of Music, I'm sorry. But they do some scholarship money to helping to provide instruments for people who may not have access to an instrument.
All right, let's go back to the phones to William in Yarmouth. Hi, William.
Hi, I'm in Yarmouth.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a longtime member of the Casco Bay Concert Band. I know Ms. Oatley knows the band. Several of our members are also a member of her band. When I first joined the band 14 years ago, her father was in the Casco Bay Concert Band.
Mm-hmm.
I played third clarinet, of course.
Another clarinet.
Yes, and I first met Miss Oatley. I'm a mailman in Freeport. I met her when she was a band director at Freeport Middle School. So we also have a concert tonight at 6:30 on the lawn at the Gorham Library. The Gorham High School is our home base, and we're paying back the community by putting on an end-of-our-season concert, and everybody is welcome to bring their lawn chairs and picnic suppers at 6:30 to 8, and it's going to be warm, but it's going to be free.
All right. Well, thank you, William, and have a great concert, and hope you get a big turnout for that. I want to go back to Mary. I cut Mary off accidentally. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for putting me back on. I hope I'm not taking up too much time. I wanted to say that one of the cool things about McGill's is that we draw people from Canada across the border, and that's just really fun to do an international band. We start with O Canada and the Star Spangled Banner every concert, and we always end with the Stars and Stripes. And we play weekly concerts through the summer, June, July, August, and out on the Monument Park in Houlton on Thursday nights. It's just the best feeling in the world.
All right, Mary.
Fun.
Oh, sorry for cutting you off there, thanks for joining our program today. Let's go to Brooklyn and David. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi, this is Dave. I actually live in Santa Rosa, California, and have a summer home in Brooklyn, and I've been here for the last week opening the house up. I'm on my way back to California because our band is playing a July 4th concert in the town I live in. And I've been a member of New Horizons for probably 4 years, and it's an absolutely wonderful organization. I played trombone in that. And then I started a Dixieland combo, and I started playing banjo in that. And these are both instruments, my trombone and banjo, that I bought when I was in high school 55 years ago. And I thoroughly enjoy both of them. It's a wonderful organization.
So, Dave, what brought you back? Were you just staring at these instruments? And
they were sitting in my attic for over 50 years. And about 4 years ago, I went to a Christmas party at home. And the high school band director who taught both of my kids how to play music in our local high school was there. And we started chatting, and I said, Lou, what are you doing? And he said, I'm running the New Horizons Band of Sonoma County. And he said, Dave, you got any instruments? And I said, yeah, I got an old trombone and banjo. And he said, well, we probably can't use the banjo, but we can certainly use the trombone player. So I started playing. Then about a year later, then I started a Dixieland combo. And since there's a good trombone player already in that, I started playing banjo, and that's kind of become my main instrument. But I love them both.
All right. Well, we'll let you continue to drive, and have a safe trip, and thanks for joining our program today. We're hearing similar stories of people coming back to music. Are there no other opportunities for this? Is that why? I mean, I'm hearing sort of I want to, but they need an event to push them back into it. What happens to people?
I think a lot of people feel like they can't. You know, I haven't done this for, I wouldn't remember. I couldn't do that. And there's also, I think, a piece that adults get into of, well, I have to do it well. You know, I can't make mistakes. I have to be perfect. And my tone has to be gorgeous. Well, it's not going to be gorgeous when you're picking that instrument up after 20 years of not playing.
Whereas kids may hit a bad note
they
just giggle.
Right. That's actually healthy, you know, because it gives you the – but that was fun. I'm going to do it again, and it still sounds terrible. But they do it again and again and again, and pretty soon it does sound wonderful.
Right. But I do think also there is a bunch of people out there who just don't know where to go to play.
Yes, exactly.
And a coworker of mine found out that I was coming to do this show and was doing the concert tonight, and he's like, wow, I used to play the trombone in college. I still have it. I'd love to do that. He said, are you taking new members? It's like, of course.
Cool.
So he came to rehearsals ago. He hasn't been able to, he's not able to come tonight, but he's going to join the band. He's 27, so he's in that middle.
Well, and I think that's the age group that our band is trying to target through outreach to the schools. It's about letting people know that these bands exist so that when they graduate from high school and their school band is no longer available to them, that they know that there is a place that they can continue to play, whether it's our band in the area they grew up in or a band where they may relocate for college or for career, so that they don't have to have that 30-year gap that many of the people who come to our band or other bands like ours have had, so that there can be a little more continuity and keep these groups going strong.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue that conversation. Also want to mention there's a piece in Down East in the July issue on community bands. Check that out. It's got some interesting stuff. And at the number to join the conversation, 800-399-3566. We'll go to Margie in Brunswick after a short break. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners and by Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, committed to canning their entire line to protect the beer and the environment, baxterbrewing.com, and the Orthopedic Institute of Central Maine, committed to regaining mobility and getting rid of the pain, jointsme.org.
Innovation. Silicon Valley does it, but so is Maine. Hi, Erwin Gratz of MPBN's Morning Edition. On Mondays during July, I'll be talking with guests about what innovation looked like in Maine's past and how to keep Maine innovating into the future. Join me for those talks, the day's news, Lou McNally's weather, the Marketplace Morning Report, and the BBC. It's all on Morning Edition, 6 to 9 weekdays here on MPBN.
And join us this afternoon at 1 o'clock following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. Today's guests are the co-authors of Think Like a Freak, Freakonomics, and Super Freakonomics, Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner. the Commonwealth Club of California, following Maine Calling here on MPBN Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the Community Bands of Maine. In the studio with me, Nina Oatley Walsh, music director for the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band, Diane Muffet, retired middle school band director who started her teaching career with the Marshwood Junior High Band, and Bob Swerdlow, vice president of the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band. We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 800-399-3566. That's 800-399-3566. We'll go back to the phones in a moment. But Nina, there's an important figure in the history of Maine music, and particularly of community bands, named R.B. Hall. And in fact, he has his own day. I think it was around the end of June. It was June 28th, I think, was the last one. Kind of moves around the state. Who was he and why is he important?
R.B. Hall is Robert Brown Hall, and he was born in Bodenham, Maine, spent most of his life in Maine, famous cornet, professional cornet player, composer, conductor. He was actually a conductor of the Bangor Band for a number of years and wrote a lot of great marches. And in 1988, Governor Brennan proclaimed the last Saturday of June to be R.B. Hall Day. And the intention was that on that day, bands from all over Maine would get together and celebrate his music. And we actually just had this year's R.B. Hall Day. It was on Saturday. It was held at the Ospe Valley Fairgrounds. And the tradition is that every year a different community band hosts the event and coordinates bringing all the bands. I think there were 8 bands that participated this year from all over the state.
And we just heard R.B. Hall coming out of the break.
That was R.B. Hall's Norum Vega March. Yes.
I had read that he was so popular in the U.K., even though he rarely left Maine, so popular in the U.K. that many people thought he was a British composer. Interesting story. Let's go to Margie in Brunswick. Is it Margie?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Margie.
Margie. Sorry, Margie.
That's okay. And I know Nina. And Nina, you're doing a great job on the radio today.
Thank you.
And we just played together fairly recently, I think in May. But I have a community band called the Merry Meeting Community Band. And we're now in our 23rd, this is our 23rd summer. And very similar to all of the things that Nina was saying, it's wonderful to put all of these people from all different ages. The youngest people in our band are going into seventh grade. And then we have people that are well into their 80s that are playing with the band. And it's just so wonderful to put the different ages together, and then the ages seem to meld together.
Yeah. Margie, how serious are you? You want it to be fun, and you realize that you have different levels of ability. But as we've said, some people are sensitive or reluctant to play because they might not have the chops they once did. How do you balance kind of having fun and putting on a good show without hurting anyone's feelings?
I think it's really the music that you choose is really important. And, you know, I mean, I've got players of all different abilities and levels, and it can be a trick. But I think, you know, I try to find great music that's a lot of fun, and that would be on the easy side. And then if we have the players in a given summer to do certain pieces, then we can do other things that are a little bit more challenging. And it's always a fine line. But the focus on our band, and probably more so than most of the other bands, is that there's more of an emphasis on the kids. And the adults in the band are actually what really makes it, but the kids too, especially the local high school kids, and even some of the middle school kids, are a really, really important part of the band. And I'm a school band director. I'm at Mount Ararat Middle School, so that's where I'm able to do a lot of the recruiting from, and also the kids from Brunswick too, which is where I live. And one of the problems that I see is that the brass players for older people to keep up with a brass instrument is more challenging than a woodwind instrument. And so I think a lot of our brass players would tend to be on the younger side.
Is that because of the lung power or the embouchure or whatever it's called?
I don't think it's the lung power. I think it's the embouchure. And, you know, with a reed instrument, I mean, if you put a reed on it and get that reed to vibrate well, then you can play the saxophone or even the clarinet. But it just to keep your trumpet chops up or your horn chops or trombone is much more difficult, especially in trumpet.
Sure, yeah. All right, well, best of luck, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Here's a trombone guy, Mark from Freeport. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to comment that I have a 38-year-old son who played in the Freeport High School band, and he left. He's not in the state anymore, but lives down in New York City, and we've been trying to sell or give away his trombone, and coincidentally, his birthday was June 29th, and his wife called and said how much fun it would be to engrave his name on the trombone and send it to him, where they play in little get-together street marching bands down there in New York City, particularly along Coney Island. So I'm really just encouraging moms and dads who have instruments, you know, up in the attic or wherever, you know, lingering away, that you should consider, you know, we're very encouraged that our son has decided to come back to the trombone. And I just wanted to encourage folks out there who have similar situations, don't throw that instrument away.
Right. So in much the same way that you made your kids take lessons the first time, you can make them do it again at the age of 38. Yeah. All right, Mark, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about your camp, Diane, before we run out of time.
Okay. It's New Horizons at New England Music Camp. New England Music Camp is in Sydney, Maine, which is about halfway between Augusta and Waterville. And we are going into our second year. John Wigan, who is the current camp director, contacted me last year, and he said, I understand you have a New Horizons group, and I had been a counselor at the camp for several years when I was younger. And he said, how about starting a week-long New Horizons camp here? So we did. We had our first season last year. It includes not only New Horizons people, but also camp alumni, some of whom hadn't played their instrument in years, and community band people as well. And we had about 83 people. This year, we have had to close registration because we have 124 already. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful week. We had, I think, our oldest members were 88 and 89, one of which was my mother, who came back to clarinet. Here we go again with clarinet. After not playing for 70 years. And she got it out, figured out how to blow into it, and joined us at camp. And
back in the game.
Yeah, back in the game.
All right. We'll have information on our Facebook page. Is there a website, though?
Yes, there is. And there's also, they're working on developing a community music school up there for the Central Maine area, and they are hoping to have a New Horizons band at some point.
Mia writes us on Facebook, what kind of opportunities are there out there for strings? My city has a band, but what is out there for community orchestras?
In Maine, there's very, very little. I mean, I know there's the orchestra that's affiliated with USM School of Music, which is part student and part community, but there's very, very little in Maine that is in that regard.
Okay. There's that new place up in Freeport, 317 Maine.
That's in Yarmouth.
Called? In Yarmouth.
Yep.
And they have a string program.
They have some
I know.
Strings, yes.
All right, let's go to Bethel and Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, please.
I play in a community band, the Mahoosick Community Band, and one of the really joys is to see our young people that have gone on, and two of them have graduated from music education, and two of them are currently in music education, and when they come back in the summer, we let them help direct the band, and it's just so much fun.
All right, Jane, thanks so much for that, and let's take one more call here. We'll try to work in as many as we can. To Charmin in Portland, who is a member of the Italian Heritage Center Band. Hi, Charmin.
Hi, everybody. This program is really, really great. And I wanted to say clearly, I do not play the clarinet.
but you tried.
I tried to play the clarinet, but my mother decided I would play the glockenspiel. And while I'm not all that great, I have such fun, and I agree with Mary. It's the best thing I have in my life, I think, and wonderful friendships and the wonderful young people. And we all, our band also has a lot of family members, parents and children and uncles and nieces and husbands and wives. But the one thing that I wanted to also mention, everybody else has said everything else, but Bob has written a song for our band. So he's not only moved from third to first chair, but he is also a composer and a conductor. And we're having great fun learning his march. And it's been wonderful to listen to everybody.
All right, well, thank you, Sharon. We're going to be premiering that march on the 29th here in Deering Oak Parks.
Deering Oaks.
Nice. Deering Oaks Park, yeah.
And what's it called?
It's called the Silver Hill March, and it's dedicated to the Italian Heritage Center Band.
All right. Let's go to Beth in Saco. Hi, Beth.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call and comment that I played the flute with Casco Bay Concert Band for many years. I had gotten back into playing music as an adult, and unfortunately I developed a muscle disease, and it made me have to stop playing. And so it's one of the great sadnesses of my life that after having had a taste of playing music as an adult, I've had to give it up. So it's not so much that I want people to feel sad about that part, but it's just that it was such a wonderful experience that I'm so glad I had the opportunity to do it after so many years. And other people should really take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, Beth, thank you for I'm sure it's frustrating when you really love something and that's taken away.
Beth, can you play percussion?
Pardon me?
Could you play percussion?
Percussion. You know, I actually thought of that. I thought of perhaps taking up the viola or the cello.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've looked into it. I haven't quite committed to it yet. But, yeah, there may be some avenues.
So I had a trumpet player who had Bell's palsy and couldn't play for several years. Thankfully, it went away and he could come back. But he played percussion for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something to look into then.
Yeah.
Because it really is. It's not just the music playing, but it was the camaraderie.
It's the family.
It was the events. I miss going to Faneuil Hall for the New England Festival of Bands,
yes.
And, you know, Arby Hall Day and things like that. So that's something to really think about. Thank you.
Okay,
good
Beth.
Luck.
Thank you. And to Holton and Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on McGill's Community Band as well. Our local radio station broadcasts each concert. They're on Thursday night in the park, and they broadcast them on the local radio station so people who can't get there can hear it. And they also do a webcast so it can be heard worldwide. And there are people all over the world who know McGill's and who listen if they can't actually make it. So I think that's a real outreach, too.
Right, when McGill's Community Band can be heard worldwide.
That's right.
On the web.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
all right.
Great.
Susan, thank you for joining us today. So before we run out of time, I just want to recap kind of your performances and where folks can see you in the coming days, Bob.
The best thing to know is that every Tuesday in July at 7 o'clock in Deering Oaks Park at the bandstand, there will be a community band playing.
And that's here in Portland.
That's here in
Portland. That's right here in Portland.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Diane, the camp.
Our camp week is the last week of August, and we will have a final concert on Friday afternoon. That, you know, it's informal because we're just there for a week, but in the Bowl in the Pines,
okay.
New England Music Camp.
Have you had any final words? Someone who's listened to this program and is on the verge of thinking, you know, maybe I'll try this, but gee, I don't know if I have the time.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And if there are any other community bands listening out there, many of you called today. We appreciate that. Feel free to post to the Main Calling Facebook page of any upcoming events and shows. There's a lot going on. This is one of the busiest times of the year and an interesting discussion. So would you say that community bands are doing well? If there's one obstacle, what can people help with? Just taking part?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle that many bands are having is finding membership. And so I think, yes, the biggest thing you can do is if you have that instrument in the closet or you've been thinking about this for a while is to just get that instrument out or call a band in your area and get involved. And that's what will keep these bands alive and flourishing.
One thing about getting that old instrument out, please take it to a music store and get it fixed first. Because if it's sat around in a closet for a long time, the valves are going to be frozen, the pads will be split, and it will be very, very frustrating. It won't work well, and you can't get back into it. And you say, oh, well, see, I couldn't do it. So get it fixed.
That'll be an excuse for someone to not do
exactly.
it anymore, right? And all right, well, with that, we're out of time. I really appreciate you being here today. Interesting program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nina Oatley-Walsh is music director of the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band. Diane Muffet is retired middle school band director who started her teaching career at Marshwood Junior High. She is currently program director for the week-long adult band camp New Horizons at the New England Music Camp in Sydney, Maine. And Bob Swerdlow is vice president of the Italian Heritage Center Concert Band. John Keimel ran the board today. We had additional help from the MPBN web team. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith. Tomorrow in the program, a return to the garden. We'll talk about a follow-up on last month's discussion about all things green and growing. And you can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our podcast by visiting mpbn.net/Maine Calling. You can also find our podcasts on iTunes. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.